I can't see that clock. The Lord's had this chapter on my heart, really the whole book of Nehemiah. If you would turn to Nehemiah chapter 4, and I don't really have an outline or anything, and that's probably a good thing, amen. I don't have any notes, nothing. We'll just let the Lord, Holy Spirit, let him work. And that's the best way, right? Okay. Nehemiah, but the book of Nehemiah, if you're familiar with the Bible and you're familiar with Nehemiah, if you turn there, turn to chapter 4, and in the beginning there, Nehemiah's before the king, and he's got a sad countenance on his face, and the king asks him, why are you so sad looking? And I'm paraphrasing all this. But Nehemiah said, how can I have joy and rejoice when the city of my God is laid waste? And Nehemiah had a heart to do something. He knew that Jerusalem, that city, was God's city, and it had a special place in God's heart. And so he wanted to go back and do work there and try to build some things up and repair some things that had happened there. And you know, if you know the history of the Bible, that place that they it's called it's this Jerusalem means the city of peace, and what a thing. That city hadn't seen peace in almost all of its existence. Yeah. But one day, there will be peace there. Amen. The Lord Jesus Christ, the King of Peace, he's going to be there. Amen. And he's going to rule and reign from Jerusalem. And what a day that'll be. And we understand these things and read these things in the Bible. But it's going to be a wonderful thing to see it. And if you're not saved, you'll not know that. You'll not know about the peace that's going to come to Jerusalem. The Bible commands you, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And but if you're not saved, you'll never see that peace. You'll never know that. And you'll never know the peace of God that just passeth all understanding that's in this, that you could have in your heart right now. The peace of Jesus Christ that he can bring, only he can bring through salvation. Something that when I was reading through, you don't have to turn here, but in Nehemiah 2, I'll read you this passage here. This kind of stuck with me in thinking about all the things that you know, we got coming up before us, and just obviously been praying and trying to just stay as close to God as I possibly can in the midst of all this, because I'll be honest with you, I have no idea what I'm doing. I have no idea what I'm getting into, but the Lord seems to be opening these doors for us, and I'll say this, I know that I took that trip to Ukraine and hauled my family off here 3 years ago, and I don't know what to say about it really, but I'm glad that the Lord just was great, had grace on me then and brought me right back here, and it's been good. I'm glad Amen. That he showed me, he was merciful to me and brought me right back here. So Amen. The Bible says this in Nehemiah 2:12, he said, "And I arose in the night and some few men with me, neither told I any man what my God had put in my heart to do at Jerusalem. Neither was there any beast with me save the beast that I rode upon. And I went out by night by the gate of the valley, even before the dragon well, into the dung port, and viewed the walls of Jerusalem, which were broken down, and the gates thereof were consumed with fire." Nehemiah took a little walk one night and was fellowshipping with God, and he was thinking, he was looking at the work that needed to be done. He was looking at these things that needed to be done. And I'd say this, there's work that needs to be done around here in Faith Baptist Church. Amen. There's always something to do around here, amen. There's always something. Preacher will tell you, he's got many irons in the fire. And and many folks, Brother Mark, Brother Jim, many folks have set their hands to this place and tried to repair some things and fix some things. And there's always something to do. That's part of the local church. And in fact, Nehemiah is a great picture of the work of God as far as a local church. And Nehemiah, kind of a picture of a pastor in some kind of a way. And it gives a little bit of a spiritual application there. And he said in verse 14, "Then I went on to the gate of the fountain and to the king's pool, but there was no place for the beast that was under me to pass. Then went I up in the night by the brook and viewed the wall and turned back and entered by the gate of the valley and so returned. And the rulers knew not whither I went or what I did, neither had I as yet told it to the Jews, nor to the priests, nor to the nobles, nor to the rulers, nor to the rest that did the work. Then I said unto them, Ye see the distress that we are in, how Jerusalem lieth waste, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. Come and let us build up the wall of Jerusalem, that we be no more a reproach. Then I told them of the hand of my God, which was good upon me." Amen. Amen. That's a blessing. The hand Amen. Of my God was good upon me. Amen. I don't know if you can't say that. I know I can. Amen. The hand of my God is good upon me. Amen. And I'm sure thankful for that. And it ain't because of me. It's because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. It's because of his holy word. And I'm sure thankful for that. And he had spoken to me, and they said, let us rise up and build. Something that I've taken note of about this part of the country. I've never really lived any other place except around here. I lived in Pensacola for a couple years. But something about this area, about the mid-Atlantic area around Philadelphia and Baltimore, there's some working men around here. I mean, you got one right here. Everybody in here is, we work. You got a mechanic that works on big jets right there. You got a brother, Ron works for Del Dot. He's in the tow truck at night, always working. And I'm glad that I came up around men that knew how to work. Amen. And I was trained to work, and I'm sure thankful for that. And the labor, and I'm talking about sometimes hard labor. I was laughing with Justin earlier. I remember I was maybe about 11 years old or so, and he had me down in his basement down in the Baltimore Highlands with a jackhammer busting up. He had to put drain tile in the floor, and the only way I could get all that stuff out was put it in 5-gallon buckets and carry it up the steps and get it out. I was a fat little chubby little weakling, I'm glad that I had those experiences in life that taught me how to work. I grew up with around another. My stepdad, he was a framer, and I can remember summers out there hot framing houses and doing all that. And then I worked for an uncle and some other men that were brick and block masons. And that was the best experience I could have had as a teenage boy, was get out there and labor and work. And there were some bad influence out in that kind of a crew too, you know. And I was around all the rock and roll and the smoking weed and everything else and all the junk that they did. But the Lord's merciful and got me out of that mess. Amen. But something about this area. I know there's working men all across this land. There's working men all across this world. But there's something about this area we live in. And this church is a working church. Think about all the people that come out and labor in Faith Baptist Church. They say that about 10% actually get involved and do all the work around here. And that's true. It's fewer than a full house on a Sunday. There's only a few people that are actually laboring, that are actually doing things around here. But really, Faith Baptist Church is so blessed. I mean, there's many young men that can preach. There's a lot of men that can get up that read their Bibles at least, and they might not study it all that much, but they read their Bibles and they get up and the Lord lays something on their heart, and they're able to deliver something from their heart with the Holy Spirit. Speaks to it, and that's a blessing. That's a wonderful blessing to be part of a church that's full of people that are just willing to labor. And that's what this whole book is all about. And they said, let us rise up and build. So they strengthened their hands for this good work. I told you, I felt like this place was a training ground for me, and it has been. And I have not learned everything. I don't think that I know it all yet. That's a fact. I've got much to learn. But let's turn over to Nehemiah chapter 4. But I'm thankful for the things that I've seen and learned here these last 6 years. The Bible says in Nehemiah chapter 4, I'll just read through here and comment on some things and we'll be through. It says in verse 1, but it came to pass that when Sanballat heard that we builded the wall, he was wroth and took great indignation and mocked the Jews. Anytime you set out to do something for the Lord, as best and sincere as you can out of your heart, there's going to be somebody that's going to stand up and oppose you. That's right. There's going to be somebody that opposes you, whether it be your family, whether it be your friends, or it might even be other Christians.
That's right.
You better get it in your, get something down in your crawl right now that you're going to just stick it out no matter what people say.
Amen.
That you're going to do what the Lord chose you to do as best you can. And he said in verse 2, and they spake before his brethren, the army of Samaria, and said, what do these feeble Jews? He's mocking them. Will they fortify themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they make an end in a day? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of the rubbish which are burned? Think about your life. Think about it. I mean, I'll just use mine for an example. I mean, the heaps of rubbish which are burned. whenever you try to start following the Lord, I can remember when I started coming to, when I moved here 10 years ago, I had an 86 Ford pickup truck, and I loaded what little belonged to me in the back of that pickup truck, and I moseyed on over here. And I left a little note for the folks that I was staying with at the time, because when I was 16 years old, I left my mother's house, and I floated around a little bit, but there was a family that kind of took me in. She owned a restaurant out there in Maryland, and I left a note there, and they were saying, what are you going to do? They would always say, you're never going to go anywhere in life. You'll never have any money. You're going to be broke your whole life. You're this, you're that, man, and that's not what this whole life is all about. I mean, making money and everything else, that's what the world's all about, and that's all they know. and that's all they care about, is how much money you got and what you're doing with it and everything else. I'll tell you, your money is nothing. It's filthy lucre.
That's right.
It does not make the world go round. But the Bible says that it's useful, but the love of money is the root of all evil. The love of money is the root of all evil. And it's just filthy lucre. It's nothing but junk. But unfortunately, it's what we need to do the things we need, food and whatnot. But he said, will they fortify themselves? If you begin to fortify yourself spiritually, you're going to have opposition. If you decide that you're going to commit to reading this Bible more often, to studying this Bible, or memorizing this Bible more often, you're going to get opposition. And it might be yourself opposing yourself more so than anything else.
That's right.
But it could be others, like I was saying, other Christians. It could be the lost people around you. It could be your old gang that you ran with. They might oppose you. What are you going to do when they start opposing you? When they say, what are you going to revive out of the heaps of the rubbish of your life? I'm glad Nehemiah, man, he stuck with it. He stuck with it through all that.
Right.
Verse 3, it says, now Tobiah the Ammonite was by him, and he said, even that which they build, if a fox go up, there's a little pipsqueak, you know, following Sam Ballard around. He's like, even if they build it, a fox is going to break it down. That's what I think of when I see Tobiah, just a little pipsqueak running along with Sam Ballard. But look at what Nehemiah says. He says, hear, O our God, for we are despised, and turn their reproach upon their own head, and give them a prey in the land of captivity, and cover not their iniquity. Now, in the New Testament, I don't wish none of that on nobody. If somebody does me ill or wishes me ill, I know my flesh might want to retaliate, but the Christian thing, the Christian way, the Bible way, is not do that. But in the Old Testament, it was another story.
Yeah.
Look what he says there. He says in verse 5, and cover not their iniquity, and let not their sin be blotted out from before thee, for they have provoked thee to anger before the builders. But Nehemiah had every right, I believe, in this instance, because Jerusalem, like I said, was the apple of God's eye, the Bible tells you. And he's trying to do a work that the Lord put in his heart. Verse 6 says, so built we the wall. Somebody called Donald Trump, amen. And all the wall was joined together under the half thereof, for the people had a mind to work. That's what I thought of when I was reading through it. I thought about this church. The people had a mind to work. And I'm sure glad that I've been able to be a part of it. Verse 7, but it came to pass that when Sanballat and Tobiah and the Arabians and the Ammonites and the Ashdodites heard that the walls of Jerusalem were made up and that the breaches began to be stopped, then they were very wroth. And that's just like with the crazy Democrats and the liberals now. They started putting iron fence up, and they're definitely upset now. But, you know, who cares about all that? I believe it should be up, though. Amen. That wall should be up. Don't let them come in for nothing.
Amen.
But how about in your spiritual life? What kind of breaches you got down?
Yeah.
Are you even willing to close up some of them breaches?
Amen.
Your eye gate. He talks a lot about gates throughout the book of Nehemiah. Your eye gate, you know, old Clarence Larkin, your ear gate, your mouth. Are you willing to repair some of those breaches that are in your heart? I know there's breaches. We all got things we deal with, but, you know, are you willing to even set your hand to it? And don't get me wrong, I know Jesus Christ said, without me, you can do nothing.
Amen.
I can't fix my troubles, but you know what? I can, through the Word of God, I can submit myself to that, and the Lord can do something.
That's right.
That's where it is. I've been finding this out. The more you take your hands off and trust the Lord, the better it comes out.
That's right.
Amen.
You try to stick your hand to it. I've said it many times in this pulpit. You wanna make God laugh, tell him your plans.
Yeah.
He'll laugh right at you. You tell him your plans.
That's right.
And he said at the end of verse 7, were made up, and that the breaches began to be stopped. Then they were very wroth and conspired all of them together to come and to fight against Jerusalem and to hinder it. You're going to have opposition in this church as long as it's preaching the truth. As long as this church continues down the road and the spirit of this church is what it is, there's going to always be opposition.
Amen.
And as long as you continue to try to follow the Lord in your personal life, you're going to have opposition. Mainly, it's going to come from your own flesh, typically.
Yeah.
That's your own worst enemy, is that rotten old flesh.
Yes, sir.
And you're going to have to put that thing down and just submit yourself to the Word of God.
Amen.
And it'll help you. Verse 9, nevertheless, we made our prayer. There you go. Make your prayer unto God no matter what. You messed up, pray. Pray and get it right as best you can. There are things that you have to do.
That's right.
Not for salvation, But if you want fellowship with the Lord, there is something that you must do.
Amen.
You must. It's imperative.
Amen.
You're not going to have fellowship with God if you're going to keep drinking booze.
That's right.
You're not going to have fellowship with God if you keep doing the things that you did when you were lost.
That's right.
Or even as you're backslidden. You're not going to have fellowship. The Lord can come in and he's merciful and he's gracious and he will forgive.
Right.
But you know what? You're not going to have the fellowship that you could have.
That's
and
right.
Let me just tell you, the fellowship, when you're trying, you've cut things out of your life the best you can. You try to repair some of the breaches in your life. The fellowship that you get with that is far sweeter than any fellowship that this world can give you.
Right.
The camaraderie at the bar and everything else that you used to have, it cannot compare to the fellowship that you have with God Almighty.
Amen.
It cannot compare to the fellowship you can have with the brethren.
Hallelujah.
If you just submit yourself to the Word of God. And that's the thing, too. Too many folks are too individualistic.
Yeah.
I believe in being an individual and following God. But you know what? There's a time, Brother Mike mentioned earlier, you got to follow somebody.
Right.
You got to follow somebody, some man. Now, yeah, we follow Jesus Christ, but Paul said, be followers of me.
Right.
As I am following Christ. And I'm thankful that I've been had pastor here to follow behind. He's a worthwhile example to follow behind. And even though I'm going out there, there's a good pastor out there that I'm going to be under.
Yeah.
I'm not out there some wild loose gun going and taking up and doing my own thing. I'm going to be under a pastor that loves the Lord,
Amen.
That wants to see souls saved, that loves his King James Bible,
Amen.
And he loves his church. And man, the Lord's worked that thing out for us to come out there. And I'm glad that I have a good example, somebody that's well older than me that I can learn some things about life from,
yeah.
And because I don't have it all figured out. I'm not even 30 years old. I'll be 30 in June, and the Lord's been, I'm sure glad that I didn't live these last 10 years of my 20s living in the world.
Amen.
I'm so glad. Folks, you can't never tell, I guess, but I really honestly didn't believe I'd be alive when I was 25 years old. Not because I'm some crazy hard dude. It's just because I was dumb and stupid and getting behind the wheel and all the things and all that stuff. So many times I figured I'd be dead by the time I was 25. And I believe that if I didn't make the choice to come here and I didn't make the choice to go to Bible school and I didn't make the choice, the Lord presented me opportunity. See, you get things presented to you, and you can make a choice.
That's right.
What are you going to do? And in my case, I'm just giving you my case. I'm not saying whatever's going on. Who knows? You only know what's going on in your heart and in your life. But in my case, I chose to either stay out there and waller in Harford County and be a Harford County bum my whole life, or I can come over here and get under the Word of God and see what happens.
Amen.
Then I had a choice to keep flying around here and being too close to go over there, not that this is, you understand what I'm saying, I was too close to where I was from, mm-hmm. and still too, it was too much. I could go right out there and get right back in the same mess that I was in. And I know you can go anywhere and get in a mess, but I went down Pensacola and the Lord really isolated me from everything that I knew.
Amen.
And I was able to draw closer to the Lord. The Christian life is typically a lonely life. It should be, really. I'm glad for the fellowship. And you ought to have fellowship, and you ought to be able to exhort one another. But there's nothing better sometimes for some people just to be cut off. Not cut off, but isolated away from everything they know so that they can rely on the Lord.
Amen.
And then I'll tell you what, the growth, you might see things grow a lot quicker that way.
Amen,
brother. You separate them a little bit, and that way, if that's all they got, you can either wallow in your self-pity or in your bitterness or in your pride, or you can just get in the Word of God and pray and get closer to the Lord. What would you choose? What would you choose? Bible says in verse 9, nevertheless, we made our prayer under our God and set a watch. That's what many Christians need to do. You need to set a watch. Dr. Unkman used to say, I don't trust my own self.
Yeah.
And I remember he told us in class, he'd look in the mirror and he'd say, what are you up to, you filthy dog? And so I did it, you know. I thought I was cool. I was following Dr. Upman. What are you up to? I don't do it anymore, amen. Verse 10, and Judah said, the strength of the bearers of burden is decayed. This I preached a message on this verse one time. The Bible says, and Judah said, the strength of the bearers of burdens is decayed. Let me just tell you, I know that Faith Baptist Church, I know there's room to grow here. There's a lot going on, and there's a lot more that could go on. And I want to see Faith Baptist grow more. And we'll be praying that it does continue to grow in number, in spirit and everything. I want to see it. I want to see it grow, and I want you all to be close to the Lord more than anything.
Amen.
Before it grows into great big numbers, I'd rather see you all just get closer to the Lord.
Amen.
And I want to get closer to the Lord. But he says, the strength of the bearers of burdens is decayed, and there is much rubbish so that we are not able to build the wall. You ever been on a job site, and you're trying to work, and there's a mess all around, and you can't hardly do nothing? If you ever, working on a car, I'm not much of a mechanic, he'll tell you, but you can't do much nothing if you got all your tools spread all over the place and you got all that junk laying underneath of you. Or if you're on a job site, I know well enough about that. You got wood and nails everywhere and you're trying to work on top of all that. It just slows you down.
That's right.
It hinders you. That's why you got a laborer. You get a young boy out there to get out there and clean it up. Amen. That'd be the best thing for some of these boys in this church is to get out and get laboring. And any place. And that's why I tell you, I'm glad that was my experience, was to be raised up in construction and working outdoors and getting out there and labor. We burned firewood when I was a kid. And I was out there cutting trees down when I was 8-10 years old and chunking up logs and trying to pick them up and splitting that stuff. We had a wood splitter for a while, but for a long time, I had to learn how to swing that maul and get a wedge and break that stuff up. That old hard oak out there where I grew up. I know they got some here, but it gets more hilly the more west you go out there in Maryland. And I'll tell you what, we had some thick cherry logs and some thick oak logs, and you get that stuff out there and you try to split that stuff, it's hard. It can be hard sometimes, especially if it's not dry. He said there's much rubbish. What about in your life? You got a bunch of rubbish, a bunch of trash that's holding you up from serving the Lord like you ought to? From fellowshipping with the Lord like you ought to, it's better time you clean it up. Because you know what? The more you try to labor, if you keep putting your hand to something to do a work for God, and you got a bunch of filth around you, or you got a bunch of sin in your heart, in your life, it's just going to make the strength go away. The strength of the bearers of burdens is decayed. How we wound up getting in touch with this brother in Colorado was through a missionary friend of mine, Brother Hauser. He's traveling around, and he called me. He called me one night, and he said, you know, I've been traveling around, and I met all the bunch of pastors that just got small churches, and they've been out there working, and there seems like there's nobody that's there to kind of help them out. And I thought of this verse, the strength of the bearers of burdens is decayed. And preachers mention it many times from the pulpit. There's preachers that are about ready to quit. Brother Jesse knows there's many a preacher that's about ready to quit. And that's a sad case. That's a sad thing. And I know that in me, I can't myself make anything better, but I can only pray that the Lord would use myself and my wife and my family to try to be a blessing to this pastor out there.
Amen.
And that we can be a blessing to the congregation. And I certainly want to see souls saved. That's one of my goals, to see souls saved, and to be a blessing to the church. But he said back there in verse 10, and there is much rubbish that we are not able to build the wall. And brother, sister, whoever you are, whatever that thing is that's holding you up from drawing closer to God, that's preventing you from serving the Lord like you ought to serve, you better get it out the way. You better get it out of your heart. And I implore you to get it out of your heart, because I'm telling you, this life is short. Only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. You can rack up all your accomplishments that are in this world and rack them up, but they won't amount to a hill of beans if it's not what the Lord wants you to do. I'll say this, even if I go out and were to build some great big church and it's not what God wanted me to do, it ain't worth a hill of beans. I believe that. But I believe that the Lord's opened these doors for us to go out there, and I'm walking through it by God's help. Amen. Verse 11, and our adversary said, they shall not know, neither see, till we come in the midst among them and slay them and cause the work to cease. That's what a lot of folks do, and unfortunately, it's what a lot of Christians, they're just waiting to see the work cease. Because you got some foolish ambition in your heart. You got some foolish idea in your heart that you think things ain't the way they ought to be, and you'd rather see the whole thing fold up just so you get your way, and that's a shame. There's a lot of people like that, and you get it from Christians too often. Bible says in verse 12, and it came to pass that when the Jews which dwelt by them came, and they said unto us 10 times, from all the places whence ye shall return to us, they will be upon you. Therefore said I, in the lower places behind the wall, and on the place and the higher places, I even set the people after their families with swords and spears and bows. I like that. He's arming them. He's getting everybody armed. And I looked under, and I looked and rose up and said unto the nobles and to the rulers and to the rest of the people, be not ye afraid of them. Remember the Lord, which is great and terrible,
Amen.
And fight for your brethren,
Amen.
Your sons and your daughters and your wives and your houses. I believe Faith Baptist Church is worth fighting for.
Amen.
You say, well, you're leaving. I'm still going to be fighting for it.
Amen.
I'm still going to be fighting for it. Verse 15, it says, and it came to pass when our enemies heard that it was known unto us, and God had brought down their counsel to naught, that we returned all of us to the wall, every one unto his work. And it came to pass from that time forth that half of my servants wrought in the work, and the other half of them held both the spears, the shields, and the bows, and the habergeons, and the rulers were behind the house, all the house of Judah. And they which builded on the wall, and they that bare burdens with those that laid it, every one with one of his hands wrought in the work, and the other hand held a weapon. Amen. You're working in the work, and your other hand's holding the weapon. Amen. Whatever it is you do, whatever it is your trade is in life, the Bible says, walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called.
Amen.
And I take that as, even as an HVAC technician, walk worthy of the vocation worth your calling. And I want to do better at what I do for a living. I want to do better as a father. I want to do better as a husband. I want to do better as a preacher. I want to do better. I want to do better than what I'm doing right now. I want to do better. I want to do more as best I can. And there's a balance. I understand that. You can get off balance. You could go out there and try to do so much for God that things are lacking that shouldn't be lacking. You got to learn to balance that thing out.
That's right.
And that's what this Christian life is. I mean, the Bible says a false balance is an abomination to the Lord. You could be out and be the most soul-winningest person there is and have a false balance. And that's the truth. You could be out there with good intentions and everything else, but you got a false balance. And that's no good. You got to learn how to balance that thing. Verse 16, and it came to pass from that time forth that half of my servants wrought in the work, and the other half of them held both the spears, the shields, and the bows, and the habergeons, and the rulers were behind all the house of Judah. I already read this. Look at verse 18. For the builders, every one had his sword girded by his side, and so builded. And he that sounded the trumpet was by me. And I said unto the nobles and to the rulers and to the rest of the people, the work is great and large, and we are separated upon the wall one from another. I read that and I began to cry because I was thinking about, we're getting ready to head off. He said, and to the rest, the work is great and large. The work of the Lord is great and large.
That's right.
And he said, and we are separated one upon the wall one from another. And that's why I want to tell you, I'm still going to be fighting for this church even though we're separated. And the work is great. The work for the Lord is winning souls and edifying the saints and glorifying the Lord. The work is great and large. There's many facets to it. Verse 20 said, in what place, therefore, you hear the sound of the trumpet? Amen. I'm waiting for that sound of that trumpet. Amen. Amen. I'm waiting for it. In what place, therefore? In what place, therefore? Brother Mike mentioned it earlier. In whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. Wherever you are. You see that thing? I know you might not think anything of it, but the Lord blessed my heart when I read through here. In what place, therefore, ye hear the sound of the trumpet, resort ye thither unto us. Our God shall fight for us.
Amen.
I understand the historical application of this chapter and this book and everything else. But man, we're getting ready to head off, and I'm sad that we're leaving. But in what place, therefore, ye hear the sound of the trumpet, resort ye thither. We're all going to meet in the clouds one day.
Amen.
And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Verse 21, so we labored in the work. Notice this. And half of them held the spears from the rising of the morning till the stars appeared. And I thought, how could I continue to be a help to Faith Baptist Church? I can be praying, holding that spear out, trying to ward off any kind of unclean spirit. And not that I'm going to do it, but through prayer and building that wall. They sing that song in this church about The prayer, the wall that surrounds me is a wall of prayer. I don't know how all that goes. Brother Jesse can correct me. But that song's a blessing, amen. The wall that I need is a wall of prayer. And I know that Faith Baptist Church is a praying church, and I'd appreciate all the prayers we can get, all the prayers we can get, so that we can continue to labor. Verse 22, and we'll wrap it up. Likewise, at the same time, said I unto the people, let everyone with his servant lodge within Jerusalem, that in the night they may be guard to us, and labor on in the day. Preacher always mentions, make sure you get down by your bedside and pray. And I'm glad he reminds you of those things, because it's easy to just to slough it off sometimes. If you're not concerned about getting in touch with God, and if you're not concerned about prayer, and if it's not real to you, I'm glad he reminds you. I'm glad Pastor Ryman, somebody's there to remind you to get by your bedside and pray. Pray for your family. Pray for your pastor. Pray for the associate pastor. Pray for the youth pastor and his wife. I mean, sometimes it feels like it's redundant. You're praying for the same thing over and over again, but it's good. Yeah. It's good. Get yourself in a habit. Get in a good habit praying the same thing over and over. It's not a vain prayer. That ain't vain. If you mean it with your heart and you're praying for the preacher and for his family and for this church, and you start mentioning names of the families of this church, and then when things come up in the church, you pray for those things, there ain't nothing wrong with that. You better do it. You need to do it. It'd be good for you. And the more you pray for those things, you'll see the Lord take care of you in your life.
Amen.
You focus less on your little life and start praying more for the rest of the people around, you'll see the Lord take care of those things in your life. I've seen it happen. Verse 23, so neither I nor my brethren nor my servants nor the men of the guard which follow me, none of us put off our clothes, saving that everyone put them off for washing. Nehemiah never took his boots off, amen. He never took his work boots off or his work jeans or his flannel, amen. He kept on working. Kept on working until it was done. And I like that. I like that a lot. I like the soldier aspect of Christianity, and I like the war stories of the Bible. I like war stories in general. I do. But I've never been in the military. I don't know the first thing about being a soldier in this life. But I do know what it's like to labor and to work and to be on a job site working. And I love it. I love it. Preacher says, I love this stuff, man. And I did the same thing on job sites. I love this stuff. It's hot. It's sweating. Being in an attic, 160 degrees, putting in air conditioning, you got insulation all over you. I love this stuff. And then I love it even better when I'm going home, amen. But this work, there's a work that the Lord's trying to do in your heart and in your life. There's a work he's trying to do. And the most important thing in this life that I've seen is having fellowship with the Lord, staying right with God and walking with the Lord as best you can. It doesn't matter what the accolades and everything else. The most important thing in this life after you've been born again and you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior is to walk in fellowship with God, because that's what he first intended for man in the first place, is just to walk with him. He gave him something to do. He gave old Adam plenty to do, naming those animals and tending to the garden. But you know what the best thing Adam had to do was just to fellowship with the Lord and walk,
amen,
with God. And that's what he desires from every one of us, especially we who are saved. I mean, he wants lost people to get saved, and he wants saved people to walk with him and talk with him and fellowship with him. And I implore you, get busy. Get busy in that. If you don't get busy in anything else, get busy in walking with the Lord, reading the Word of God and praying and just drawing nigh to him. Draw nigh to God, and he'll draw nigh to you. And lastly, I'll just say this. I'd like to read over here real quick in Ephesians chapter 1. I think about Faith Baptist Church when I think of this here, what Paul wrote. He had a prayer for these Ephesians over here, the Ephesian church. And Ephesians 1 verse 15, he said, wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him up from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things through the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. I think of Faith Baptist Church when I read those verses there. I pray that the same things Paul mentioned to them is my prayer for Faith Baptist Church. And if you could pray for me, he said in verse 19 of Ephesians chapter 6, and for me that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds. I'm not in bonds, but Paul was. That therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. And I love Faith Baptist Church, and I'm glad the Lord's had us here.
Amen.
And I'm just thankful for being here. And I just appreciate all your prayers, and thank you for all the love and support you've given us. And I just want to please the Lord. And like Brother Jesse sings, that's my desire, is to please the Lord. I don't care about anything else. I want to please him, and there's many things involved with doing that. But I'm glad I got a wonderful wife beside me and wonderful children.
Amen.
And I want to do right by them, and I want to do right by my God first and foremost. Amen. Pray. Thank you, brother.